Okay, in this video, I'm going to talk about a brief case study from a question I came across in an online group about asking your advisor about the cost of working with the advisor. So I'll just read this post. Do any of you out there ask your financial advisor, who is AUM, which is Assets Under Management, for an actual breakdown of how much is coming out of your portfolio each year with the 1% fee? And also any investment product fees. I am sure there are fees I don't really know about. I've tried to figure it out looking at my statements, but I am having a hard time. I don't know why I feel awkward asking. I try to be very frugal with my withdrawals of about $2,000 per month, but at $1.8 million portfolio, I feel like the 1% is taking the same amount as me each month. I'm very new at this since being widowed. So very understandable situation here. Someone that's widowed, or at least presuming from the way this is written, that I assume she, saying widowed, unless it could be he, so he or she is maybe not, wasn't involved as much before the spouse passed away. So decent portfolio size. Maybe had an existing advisor is what I'm reading into this, and trying to understand what does it cost, which is a very fair point. So as an advisor, I'm going to touch on this as how I think this person could approach the advisor and what to be thinking about if they want to do their own research, how to do that. And, you know, I won't get too much into the pros and cons of this this arrangement of how to pay your advisor. Very common arrangement that I'll touch on have touched on in other videos. So, number one, I want to acknowledge that it makes sense that it's awkward if you're not used, if you haven't worked with this person as much as maybe your spouse did, or you don't know if it's a good question, or if it's a, you know, you don't want to be perceived as asking a dumb question, even though it's definitely not a dumb question. Very understandable feeling for it to feel awkward to ask. So one of the downsides of going to an online forum or group for advice is there are over 70 comments on this question. So wide range of answers. I guess I'm giving another one, not in that forum, but so good news is there's a lot of input. Bad news is it's gonna have everybody's thoughts and opinions. And ideally, if you could find one to three people who you trust to ask this question, friends, family, other professionals that you hire even to be like your advocate, I think that would be a optimal approach compared to this. But hopefully this person got something that you could use out of those comments or get a general sense of what people are feeling and thinking. But when I read through the comments, even if I have an opinion, I'm overwhelmed sometimes when there's, you know, 50 to 70 to hundreds of comments about a question or a situation from professionals, from amateurs, from people who clearly are knowledgeable and some sometimes are not knowledgeable in other comments. So that's something to think about. So natural to feel awkward if you haven't dealt with this, but like a lot of people recommend in these comments, I think it's a great idea to ask somehow, well, the number one reason to ask is because how the advisor responds to that question or your concern of, hey, I don't understand. I just want to make sure I understand what I'm paying. How they respond to that will tell you a lot about if you want to continue that relationship for the very long term. Because even if someone's slightly annoyed by the question, if they work with the one spouse, he or she passed away, the surviving spouse is now saying, hey, how do I pay? There's no reason the advisor really should take it defensively the way this person would be asking, right? So if the advisor is, you know, charging 1% a year or about $18,000 a year, the least the professional can do is try to explain it the best way they can, right? So asking the question, even if it feels awkward, is smart. So hopefully eventually you get the info you're looking for, but even more important than that is this somebody that you trust to work with and help you going forward? Because if they respond in a way that makes you feel worse that's a sign you probably want to start looking around. Hopefully they're empathetic, patient, and a good teacher and can explain and, you know, show you where the information is or why, and or if it's hard to find, why it's hard to find, because sometimes the tools that we use are limited. And I know systems that I have access to can be frustrating in terms of trying to explain something to a client, even though I know it inside and out. I don't have a great tool sometimes to show the way I would show it, right? Because the custodian that holds the money is the one that prints the statements and shows the data. So number one, ask, work yourself the courage, bring someone you trust with you, or have someone help you write an email if that's the best way to do it. But I would ask, like a lot of people suggested. So then to the matter at hand of what are the fees? And it's hard, depending on the situation, to sort out if you're covering all the ways that either you're charged and or the advisor makes money, because those aren't always the same thing, right? So the two main things that are being mentioned here are often the biggest expenses, which is the cost of the advisor. In this case, the client is paying a percentage of the money invested, which is very common, assets under management. So if it's 1%, if he or she has $1.8 million, that's about $18,000 a year. So pretty good chunk of change. Relative to the $1.8 million, it's a small chunk. It's only 1/100th. And this is a very common method, but there's a lot of pushback or alternative options these days that people sometimes think, wow, why would I pay $18,000? Is that really worth this? That's probably a debate for a different video, but that should be easy to find on a statement somewhere. Usually it's charged at least quarterly, sometimes monthly, but usually at least quarterly. So if you have a $1.8 million account, $18,000 is 1% of that per year. So, you know, depending on the account value at the end of a quarter, you should see somewhere in your statement a deduction for $4,500 or so per quarter. So that should be easy for the advisor to identify for you. The next one would be the investment product fees. So that just means, what are the internal costs of an investment that would be in your account? If it's a mutual fund or an exchange traded fund, ETF, those are usually pretty easy to find. And hopefully, you know, for the vast majority of people, you're going to have either an ETF, mutual funds, maybe some individual stocks, and maybe some individual bonds, which is probably less common. But, you know, mutual funds, ETF, stocks are fairly common. So for mutual funds and ETFs, if you just Google either the 3, 4, or 5, usually 4 or 5 letter symbol, ABCD, XYZ, Google that or the name of the investment and expense ratio. Usually you can get, without even clicking on the result, you can get something that shows you how much the internal costs of an investment are. And that's what we call the expense ratio. Those can get very, very low if you're using a certain class of investments. Usually they're ETFs or index mutual funds that Vanguard has made very popular, but many other providers are big in the business of. So the internal cost of your specific investments could be very, very low. And it could be up to as high as 1% or even more for the investment itself, not the fee for the advisor, but the investment that is in the account. So typically these days, if you're paying more than, you know, an investment is more than 0.5%, that you might want to take a second look at that and make sure you feel like it's valuable, or ask the advisor, hey, is this worth the underlying cost? Investment costs are tricky because in a lot of life, if we try to skimp and save on costs, we're not going to get the value. We're going to get low quality. But in investment costs, there's a lot of research and data that says the lower your costs are, the better you do. You would think maybe if you get what you pay for, you pay more, you get a better manager, better results sometimes. But the average over decades and decades and decades shows that usually that's not the case. Morningstar is a big research outfit that has been around since the mid-80s, and they've done lots of research on this. There's all kinds of studies. So low cost is not the only thing, but in general, that tends to lend itself to better results. So there's a reason people focus on cost, and it's not just to be cheap. So I tend to favor the lower cost investments in our clients' accounts. But that's again a broader debate. But if you're just trying to identify what is the number, just Google, Growth Fund of America expense ratio, PIMCO total return bond fund expense ratio, Vanguard S&P 500 index fund expense ratio. Or if you have the symbol, which is for a mutual fund, it's five letters. For an exchange traded fund, it's either three or four letters, and just those three to five letters and then expense ratio, and you'll probably get there. So the hard part is then what do you do with that information? Because if you're feeling overwhelmed and intimidated and not comfortable making sense of the data, having the numbers it'll tell you something, but it's going to be hard to tell you what. If you search those and the expense ratio for all those things is 0.1%, so 0.1%, 10 basis points, 0.05%, that probably means you got very low cost investments. If you do that for the investments in your accounts, every one of them is 1.2%, 1.3%, 0.9%. That's probably an indication you have higher costs internal to your investment than you need. But then what to do with that information and how to approach your advisor, it doesn't necessarily mean you solved everything if you have low cost investing. And it doesn't necessarily mean you have someone you need to fire immediately if you have higher costs. They might be a correlation of, quality of the advice you're getting, but it's not a perfect correlation. So now there could be a lot of other costs in terms of that you're paying directly or indirectly. Not as big of a deal these days, but if you find yourself with someone who works for an insurance company or is an agent of that insurance company, it's possible they make extra money through using a certain type of investment. That is less and less these days, but and hopefully dying out completely. But there's various incentives that various organizations have to use certain types of vehicles or use them at a certain time, or the advisors running their business might necessitate make it easier on them to use a certain vehicle, or they might have an investment salesperson that works for XYZ mutual fund company that they are really friendly with, or sponsors their stuff or reimburses them for expenses. They could have relationships that you don't know about. I have always been leery about spending any time or accepting any money or support from they call it investment wholesalers, or so XYZ fund company or XYZ annuity company. Only reason I would need to talk to them is for them to explain their investment products to me, or if I have a question about specifics, versus having a deep relationship with those people. I try to keep them at arm's length because I can read on my own. I don't need another potential conflict of interest. So those are things behind the scenes that probably wouldn't be the big drivers of why you have certain investments, but those little things that are hard to sort out if you have no idea of the behind the scenes of how an advisor might make a decision. A comment here about the withdrawals. So in the comments, there's a lot of some people getting annoyed or upset that the individual is withdrawing, let's say, $24,000 a year, and the advisory fee for this account is about $18,000 a year, and comparing those two numbers. And while that's a natural thing to do, we're just naturally going to compare things. I don't know that really is relevant, because if the account makes, if you have a good year like we did in 2023 and the account makes 20%, well, now is that $36,000 gain, does that make the $18,000, that's a $360,000 gain, 20% of $1.8 million, $360,000 gain. Well, does that make the advisory fee of $18,000 a year better? Obviously, if you have better investment results, most people are going to be a little more likely to be more comfortable paying a little bit more or paying the same. But I'm not sure that changes the value you're getting, even if you have a good year in the investments, right? So how much you earn and the value you're getting, it should probably affect things more than how much you're taking out. because, you know, if you took out zero, it doesn't make the fee worse. And if you take out more, it doesn't make the fee better. In other words, if you're keeping that $18,000 a year fixed and you're withdrawing more, well, that looks better by this comparison. So I don't think that's, I think there's a bit of a distraction in the question that we're trying to ask. What are you getting? What kind of value are you getting for what you're paying that's coming out of your account? I think that is a great question, but I would try not to get hung up on withdrawals compared to the fee, because again, if you have a comprehensive advisor who's addressing more than just the investments, it should touch, the withdrawal strategy should be part of that. Tax impacted withdrawals, long-term tax, tax efficiency on how to get money out of this account. A lot of other things that should be part of that relationship, or could be, if you have an advisor who's knowledgeable and thorough. But anyways, that's a bit of a sidebar. Completely understand the uncertainty, the worry, because it's a big transition. The comments sounds like this person was widowed, so lost a spouse in a fairly recent past. So that's a lot to go through, and understandable. But you know, if you can't, number one thing you should have in any professional, ideally, but certainly a financial advisor, is feel comfortable asking questions and feel like they are willing to explain things to you as much as you need to, or at least several times before. You know, I won't lie that I've, every now and then, if I feel like I've explained something several times, I can get frustrated or impatient, but it's probably I'm not explaining it well. So, or maybe it's not a good fit for the relationship if someone still has an issue, but that's okay. You can't always assume every relationship will last forever, especially if it's a business relationship. But in this case, I would definitely ask the advisor about the costs and see how they respond, and then follow up until you feel comfortable that you trust them, and double check, get a second opinion. One thing I'm happy to do, because I love talking shop, is give a second opinion. So if you have a question like this that you want some insight, not necessarily looking for new clients, love the practice I have, love the clients I have, but happy to help however I can. And someday I envision charging for that. For now, happy to do it for free and for fun, because that's what I do for fun. Thanks, and until next time, bye-bye.